Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati podcast. As always, episode 263. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined today by the Snoopy and Woodstock of LA, Jesse, and not Alex. Alex is a busy man. He was recently married. So instead, a Mr. Michael Santel.
We married him off. We got rid of him.
We did
we
it.
Married to, him off?
Well, Santel Someone was more involved, was much more involved, at least, than I was. I saw him run up there and put a name tag on. It was very funny.
I did unwanted bits during the wedding that were then quickly shooed away by people.
I must stress, so many bits. I was not expecting as many bits at a wedding as this. This wedding had all the comedy chops of a L.A.-based improv group.
To be honest,
wait, the average LA-based improv group,
or I'm gonna say like, the average LA.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. You know, I wouldn't know what to compare it to. So
I'm gonna let you know. I thought the bits ran out a minimum. I'm gonna let you know that we could have definitely done double that amount of bits. But
I'm aware. I saw the bits were going to people wondering. The wedding was great. So many bits. The kids were doing bits.
Beautiful. And all those bits were made possible because of you over at patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod. Were you?
That's true. I don't think that's.
I think
helped.
So.
Well, he helps. They help pay Alex's wedding bills. So
absolutely.
For that, you know, that was it. That was them doing it. All right. Over there, bless. You can get video minisodes, video main episodes, ad free everything, minisodes, rotten popcorn, and art, and pre sales on tickets when we do those, all kinds of good shit. So go check it out. I am no shill like Alex, so I'll leave it there. Gentlemen, I'm excited for today's episode. Because last time we had Santel on, it was all gas, no brakes. There was no Jesse here. It was Alex. And Alex was just like, I'm in, baby.
I tried to do a Patreon react, and I got 30 minutes in before I had to get... I was like, I'll do more later, and I just have never gone back. Because I'm going to let you know, it was too much. I am here to contain the wild beast that is the two of you. The two-headed monster you create.
I'm so excited for you to shoot down all of our theories with science and fact-based reality.
I don't even know what we're doing today. It's a book. I have no idea what's happening.
A book.
In the UFO world, things have been moving along quite rapidly. The election is certainly, like, I think, muted a lot of what's actually happening in the back end, but still things are moving. And one of the big things that
Time out real quick. Yeah.
Is there the U.S. election we're talking about.
Yes, that's the what United we're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know if you knew.
It was not
is that
American
Is that
Idol.
Happening right now? Are we doing that again? We're doing that again, guys?
It just never ends, dude. It just never ends.
No, I was curious if there's, like, in the community, is there thoughts on, like, man, it's died down. Ever since the election, it feels weird that we're not talking about it anymore. Are they trying to cover something up? Like, what's going on? Is this all
they're trying to cover
like,
anything up? Yes, that's true. I think that is the chatter online a lot. But in reality, the UAP thing operates at the government speed. And when they all take a break for 4 months or whatever, nothing's going to happen because everything's on pause. Like they took a break for like, a month or two recently. And then the election. So everybody's running for election stuff. So everybody that can
do
these meetings.
Do yourself a favor, kids. Pause the podcast. Go. I'm sure you're on your phone right now. Pause it. Go just Google congressional schedule.
Dude, yeah.
If you want to talk about conspiracies, look at how many days they actually work a year. Because that is the highest conspiracy. I'm like, you're barely there. What are you doing?
Yeah. So yeah. That's exactly it. And as the election's happening, yeah, everybody who was like setting up meetings is off doing their own shit. But it hasn't stopped some things. And one of the big things that was coming out is Lou Elizondo, for those who are in the UAP world, the guy who was supposedly in charge of ATIP. And there's a lot of discrepancy there, but there was a leaked memo recently. He wrote a book called
Question Imminent. Time Out.
Yeah.
What is ATIP for those who don't know? I mean, I clearly Santel, do.
Why don't you take this?
Okay. So it's changed several times, but it is anonymous. Anonymous ATIP, aerial phenomenon, at which they then changed to anomalous phenomenon because it wasn't in the air anymore.
Where's the T?
The T is trans
medium. Is it trans?
Yeah.
Is it, let me go look. I can just Google this. ATIP.
But is it ATIP or ATP?
AAT. Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Bam.
Thank you. I apologize.
I just want to make sure we all were on the same. Because you know, some people might not know what that is.
Yep.
So.
Not to be confused with the program before this, which was OSAP,
which got turned into ATIP under the hood by again. A bunch of over-compartmentalized pieces of the government that don't talk to each other. Just for your clarity's sake, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program was an unclassified but unpublicized investigatory effort funded by the U.S. to study UAPs, or unexplained aerial phenomenon. The program was made public on December 16th, 2017. I remember those when the videos were leaking and all those like you, that was kind of in conjunction with this. But the program began in 2007 with a funding of a measly $22 million over 5 years, which if you know anything about government programs, that's not a lot of money. Appropriations were ended in 2012, and the program began in the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency afterward. So it's just like moved around under different umbrellas and was denied until it was like leaked that it was real. And Lou Elizondo says he was in charge of it, part of it. And then the Pentagon has said, no, that's not true for years and years and years. And then 3 months ago or 2 months ago, a FOIA requested memo got leaked to the guy who runs the Black Vault, which is he just a FOIA guy. He just FOIAs and documents everything. And he got it where basically there was the government not only naming ATIP, but also naming Lou Elizondo on the memo. And he wasn't the guy who got the FOIA wasn't supposed to get it. It was an accidental send to him from the person who was on the other end of FOIA. So it was like, whether it was quote unquote accident or somebody on the other side, because what we're also learning is like there's basically the old guard, all the old fucks who are like, don't want to let go of any of the secrets. And there are some that I agree for national security reasons. But then there's the new guard who's like, no, some of this fucking shit's insane and the public needs to know. And there's like a butting of heads. And that's what this book essentially outlines his entire career from being recruited in the army through all of that.
So for clarity, the old guard versus new guard is his assertion in the book, correct?
No, not really. That's
or is
like
that
my,
your vibe
that's my,
on like, this is what the whole thing actually is?
That's my vibe on things. Like the way he talks about things is like basically the people who have just been clinging to, you know, the boomers.
Grush and Lou Elizondo got to a place in the government where
Time out.
Yeah.
Imagine this is someone's first time listening or watching.
Pretend Jesse, and this is Jesse's first time really understanding.
Pretend I don't know any of these people. The two people you just mentioned, Grush, who we've talked about before, can you give us a little explanation on these two that you're talking about? The two that we're going to, obviously one we're going to get into today a lot.
Lou Elizondo specifically today, yeah.
1 year ago, I mean, I guess 2 years at this point, but a year ago, David Grush came forward, the individual that has super high government clearances, what would walk to Biden's office and say, Grandpa, time for the report. Okay, right. Like the very high clearances, came forward and said that there's a reverse engineering program. We've collected down craft and we have found biologics from these things. And then there's a ton of stuff he can't get into.
That's where non-human NHI came from, was initially Grush. And then it made its way into the Schumer bill that three Republicans in the House have blocked from.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Now, Grush was only cleared to say certain things. So one of the things he kept saying is, I can't talk about that. I have to talk to somebody. I have to talk to you in a skiff.
The DOPSR is the one that does a lot of the okaying when it comes to books in particular.
Lou Elizondo.
That's the basically the government censory board that's like reads through and says, no, you can't put that in because that's classified. No, that doesn't. But an important clarity for what they do. They don't also say that's a lie. Don't put that in there. They just simply make sure anything that's secret or sensitive is removed. Anything else is not to their purview. So they're not stopping anybody from writing straight up insane lies if that's what's happening. Just to put that out there. I don't want you to think that they're also like, you can't put that in there. That's a lie. No, they don't give. They're just making sure like sensitive info is redacted.
Right. So this DOPSR office, right? So 1 year ago, Lou Elizondo says, this is what I want to say. And they're like, hold on, buddy. We got to read this. Takes them over a year to read this, you know, because they're on vacation 90% of the time. So eventually someone did the book report and read it. And he is now also asserting that as they made their ranks up the government, they got to a certain level where if they never talked about this, they could continue to make waves. But as they made waves about this to talk about it, they were told, under no circumstances are we going to talk about this. Grush got fed up, left the government to talk about this. Lou Elizondo has essentially done the same thing.
And I want to make it the clarity for Grush is that he left and he was only made public a couple years afterwards because memos were leaked that he was filing complaints via lawyer. And that's when Grush became public because he wasn't attempting to be public. He just kind of got forced because somebody leaked some shit.
And we'll get into the breadth of the book. But basically, from Lou's understanding, from him researching all of this, even though he's been unable to unearth this legacy program, this program that's been going now over 80 years, because Grush thinks that this goes to probably pre-30s, that non-human intelligences are real. They are visiting us right now. They have been visiting with us for a long time. We do not know their origins, what they want with us, or what their weird connections are with some of our military installations, specifically nuclear energy, nuclear-powered boats and things in the water, and then also nuclear power plants and like missile silos and things like that.
Right. So yeah, this book Imminent that we're kind of goes through, like I said, kind of his early life into the military.
Jesse, did you know that Lou Elizondo's father was one of the Bay of Pigs dudes? He fought with Castro and
he landed in the Bay and he was like, come on guys, let's go. Yeah. Revolution.
Castro took over and was like, this is my country. And they're like, go fuck yourself. Fought in Bay of Pigs, lost, was in Castro's jail for 2 years. While he was away, Lou Elizondo's mom like, I got to change your identity. I'm raising you as Jewish. Dad was in jail for 2 years, comes back, family gets back together. There's some trauma, but his dad was a part of Bay of Pigs.
Yep.
Okay, sure. So
he's been in military life his whole life. Like, you can, that's all documented. That's all on paper. Like, that's all shit you can find.
I love the idea that he's like, he's released from prison and he goes back home and he's like, finally, out of that communist hellscape and back in good old USA where I can celebrate Christmas. And they're like, about that.
His wife goes, oy vey. And little baby Lou Elizondo drops his matzo on the ground and his matzo ball rolls all over the floor and he goes, daddy.
Yep, that was it. It's crazy.
Really? So what the book Imminent is, just to give everybody an idea, if you are deep into the UFO world, it's more or less a chronological like compiling of everything that we can verify through government papers, essentially, and Lou Elizondo's own personal stories, some of which, if you followed, are not new. A few of them are, and a few of them even make me go, really, dude? Like, I'm not sure. And we'll talk about them. But it's another reason, like taking you through this book, Jesse, is essentially just going to take you through the timeline that he lays out of like what the government's been doing.
So he's a young man full of spit and vinegar. Joins the military, and very on in his military career, he is recruited into Project Stargate. Project Stargate was the government's...
No, that's real. This paper
is the remote viewing.
Yeah, we have the CIA paper.
Right, no one's talked about it.
Yes.
We talked about the crazy version of Stargate.
Right.
Like, this version is just the CIA's, like, research into remote viewing. Like, that, which we know existed, but that's... Oh, they weren't time traveling with a young Obama to Mars, like right. that guy said he was. No, he's not saying that
blue,
at all.
There's no blue avian people, none of that stuff.
No, none of that shit, no.
But this is where some other names that are going to come off. But in 1994, he was recruited, trained how to do remote viewing, was going to be part of the program. Then Congress pulled the funding. That program fails, and he goes, okay, well, I learned how to remote view. I'll bring that into my work.
Gets deployed,
does a couple of tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, specifically on counterinsurgents.
Jesse, like in Iraq, like Professor X, like,
it's not that cool looking or described. It's more like...
He would just sit in a chair and be like,
it's more like drawing pictures. It's like doodling on breakfast.
And just like going with whatever you're feeling. And he said he would rub his index fingers and his thumbs together when he would do it out of like,
you know,
just like,
I'm
calming.
Feeling a little counter-terrorist-y. Yeah.
He used the phrase on Joe Rogan, and I don't remember the context for it, but he used the expression warheads on foreheads. So that's what he was doing, my dudes. successful.
What you just said to me, you said, first off, the idea that he could say to Joe Rogan, warheads on foreheads, and Joe Rogan was probably like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm asking you the question, what the hell does that mean?
I need to know, too, because I did not listen to the podcast.
He was talking about the burden of proof that he has on these things, and he's like, for us to do a tactical strike on your house where we put a missile only into your apartment, right? This is the burden of proof of information to put warheads on foreheads. He feels confident in what he has discovered that, like, yeah, I could, if this was Iraq times, I could get a bomb there because I could say that this was a threat to national security. Jesse, he was so successful in his activities.
Wait. So you're telling me that burden of proof wise, which by the way, most of the time in the military and intelligence community, like, 80% for a lot of people is good enough. You know what I'm saying? So this dude is straight up just like, on my word, we could launch a missile at someone, is what he's saying. Like if he said, I found the location, if he was like, whoa, 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 and he put on Cerebro and he found the location of like the terrorist guy. And in this case, we'll say like
more. He described it more like when he was using it more like, I have a bad feeling about tomorrow. I don't want my men to go in tomorrow. I just have a bad feeling about it. That's more.
So, and then again, based on his word, they'd be like, no, we're not going to send them in.
Yes.
Because he was the commander of his unit. He had work say okay. that he could say no.
All right. But he had the power. I'm just trying to establish his power level here of what he's able to actually do, like, versus like the fantasy.
I feel like remote viewing comes with the pop culture thinking of like actually just walking around in a 3D space when it's more like
he's like Psylocke. Okay. He's got like good fighting ability, a light psychic kind of side to him, but not a powerful like a Jean Grey or a Xavier. Not at all.
Come on. Who is, right?
Yeah. Fair.
Jesse. He was so successful at running these things, he then ran the rendition program and
at Guantanamo?
Yes.
Are you kidding? Seriously?
No, Jesse. For real. This is why
these people are credible for a reason, because this all can be tracked and documented.
I don't know if that makes him more credible or not, but like, listen.
He's not like a guy who's wasn't in the military, wasn't high ranking, wasn't heavily, heavily involved in everything, which could also be evidence that he's also a disinformation agent. Like,
right. Well, that part is not lost on me in all of this, but he ran he ran Guantanamo Bay, which I think was a personal fuck you to Cuba, because he's like, my dad couldn't get you, but now I live here on this beach doing whatever I want to do.
It's possible.
I don't. So, okay. All right. So this guy comes from a family where the dad was a military man. So he has the background. He joins up, but the way he joins up is via the Project Stargate.
No, he just
was a normal recruit. That was something he was recruited. Wait,
so what's A to B? How does he go from I'm a normal recruit to we're going to let you do mind war?
Great question. I mean, I don't, whatever led
like,
him.
Like they approached him and they're like,
he was going into counterintelligence.
Like, why did they, like they, these are always those steps that I find interesting where it's like, but why? Why so was he chosen? Thing.
He describes it like, you have a meeting. I want to meet with you. This guy higher up goes, meet with me in this place in like 2 hours. He shows up. He starts asking a ton of questions, kind of rapid fire. He clearly did a background check and like, you know, he's kind of talking a lot and it sounds super secret agent-y. However, my friend, who's a lawyer, was was trying to be recruited by the FBI. And he went through something extremely similar. And he said how weird it was that they would just kind of be like, okay, you have a meeting with us tomorrow. And they would ask things and know things that he had no, like, he doesn't know where they fucking found this shit out. And they were just, he made it to like the third, I think, part of the process. And then he ended up backing out and was like, I'm done with this. Like, they do that kind of thing. It's just whether or not, you know, Lou is telling the truth.
So it's like Men in Black, where he's like, hey, show up this time, Will Smith. And then he's like, okay. And then he makes Will Smith shoot aliens and stuff.
Except like, it's not Kay. It's some like really scary dude with a beard and is like angry
military
man. Kay was
pretty scary until you got to know him.
The dude with the beard ran all of MIB. We're not running an intergalactic kegger here. That guy was the beard guy.
You mean Rip Torn? The incredible Rip Torn?
So, he, because of his work in counterterrorism and in working with the sort of messier side of the war on terror, he had a ton of clearances. So in 2009, he gets approached by, and I want to say it's Hal Puthoff at this point, correct?
I think it is. I think you're correct. I read this yesterday, but I kind of like.
So Hal just says like, hey, I want to invite you to work on this program. And I think that you'd be great for it because of the clearances that you have. And I think I would love your eye on it. And he was like, great. What can you tell me about it? He's like, can't tell you anything about it right now. They're having a very serious conversation, looks him dead in the eyes and goes, what do you think about UFOs? And he goes, personally, I don't think about them. I don't get paid to think about them. I have other things on my plate to worry about than UFOs. And Hal Puthoff looked directly into his face and said, I think you need to give it a little bit more of a thought. And I think that you need to not allow your worldview to pollute your thoughts on this. And he said, if you want to be a part of this, let me know. We can make things happen. And then we will meet you in a skiff. So he talks it over with his wife. Now, mind you, he's not like, it's not like he's leaving his Guantanamo Bay job. No. At his government desk, he is working on this, and he also agrees to be part of ATIP. So in addition to his responsibilities, he tells his superior, I want to be part of this thing. And they go, yes, we feel confident that you can do that. Takes about 2 weeks. He gets them approved. They go into a skiff. Mr. Mathis, if someone doesn't know what a skiff is, what is a skiff?
Super private, no technology, no nothing meeting between Congress members and our government officials that are just like super, super secret. And when they come out, you just kind of have to take their word as to what they say because there's no fucking evidence. It's just like, it's all super top, top secret meetings, which Grush went into multiple times with Congress that we talked about in minisodes, you know, in the past. I don't know what that actually SCIF stands for specifically.
Special compartmentalized information, like yep. something like that.
It's sensitive compartmented information facility. That's exactly what it is. It's a room built in the U.S. government standards to prevent interception of sensitive information and outside surveillance. They are designed to handle sensitive compartmented information. The SCI, a part of SCIF. And involves a project. It's part of the intelligence sources. So,
and I don't know if I said this to you, Mr. Mathis, at the wedding we just went to, that my realization from this book is our government sounds like a secret society, like masonry. Like you need certain levels to get into certain doors and we're kind of in the know, but you're not allowed to know unless you get into the room.
But I wouldn't even say it's like a secret society thing. It's just like humans have this obsession. Like once you make things official and cool, like you start compartmentalizing and once you start going, once you start making levels, now you are just via security level, you're compartmentalized. Never mind keeping the secret, like whatever fucking programs, not UFO ones, but maybe military missile ones away from this part of the government, but they might have like equivalent security clearances. It's over compartmentalized. It's the government doesn't talk to itself. And like, I think that's the part I get out of the book is like, it just seems like it's too many fucking heads trying to run the same body.
How much of that has changed post? I mean, obviously when I say post 9/11, that's 20 years ago, but at the time they made the whole point of having like a Homeland Security Bureau was so that all of it reported to one thing. And I'm not sure what the vibe is with that right now, but
I would say it's probably gotten worse, but like,
Lou is trying to stop a UFO 9/11. And I said that in a text message. I feel like the whole point of this is being like, the parts of our government need to talk about this.
That's what I was going to say is like, we talked about it in MK Ultra. We talked about the origins of the CIA via OCS or OIS or something. And that's when I'd say things started getting compartmentalized, because once that was created, we watched it via history, what it did with MK Ultra. They were literally lacing and dosing their own government fucking members while they were working with LSD and weed fucking all the time. And they were the same security clearance.
That was, we're talking
60s.
Post World War II, 60s, 70s, 80s.
So into the Cold War.
They changed the structure a little bit in the early 2000s. So when does all the stuff that you're talking about take place?
So this is like 2009, 2010.
But keep in mind, like UFO programs like ATIP have existed since the 60s, starting with.
Sure. I'm just trying to figure out exactly like.
Yeah, 07-ish is like where we're looking at. Yeah.
Now, they would deny that they have a program, but there's been a program. So as Lou has now been brought into this group, he then now starts talking with Cal Kellen Hurt. What is his name?
I'm so bad with names, dude.
It's okay. These were the guys that were investigating like Skinwalker Ranch. So he's talking with these guys
Angelo and
like
there.
Hearing about all of their input and stuff like that and what they experienced there. And then he starts talking to Hal Putoff. And in the book, on page 45 of your hardback readers at home, he talks about how he doesn't remember when his UFO kind of history started, but the conversation that he had with Hal was, well, it all goes back to 1947. Wait, Roswell was real? I asked. Hal looked at me clearly, weighing whether to bring me further into his circle of tros. Yes, Lou, it was real. You mean to tell me that a UAP actually crashed and we covered it up? That's exactly what happened, he replied. I went quiet and let his words sink in. Hal went on to tell me something else that truly blew my mind. Four deceased non-human bodies were in fact recovered from 1947's Roswell crash. After processing that, I fired off a slew of questions in head, out mouth. Have we recovered non-human bodies from other UAP crashes? He looked at me as if debating on how to answer. It was clear to me he wasn't ready to tell the answer. I was still the new guy. We'll tell you more soon enough.
And what he goes on to say is like, go ahead. Yeah. We'll stop there. We'll stop there for now.
Time out. He goes on to say many things, I'm sure, but time out.
Well, sure.
The man he's talking to is, again, his bona fides, please.
Hal Putoff was a government CIA spy, which was also part of the remote viewing group. He worked with the original group in the 70s with, which is from the Men Who Stare at Goats. Ingo Swann, that original group. When Ingo Swann left the group and started his own group, he stayed with the government. And I believe from this has been working in these esoteric programs in the government because of his clearances for probably the last 30 years.
So he's asking this dude and he's like, yo, it's all real.
Yes. So as he leaves the skiff, Lou Elizondo talks a bunch about how he's not a Star Wars guy. He's not a Star Trek guy. He didn't play fantasy as a kid. He played G.I. Joe. He starts going onto the government servers and starts, so what Mathis was talking about, how it's all compartmentalized. He would go to different servers. So he would go and look at the CIA server and go to Homeland Security. And on these secure servers on weapon platforms that we, me and you do not need to know about, there are high quality 4K, full definition, beautiful videos of strange crafts being caught on these platforms.
What's he goes on? Something he mentions as well, which is interesting, is he, you know, he raises the question in the book, and it's something that we've asked on the show, is like, well, is the president read in? Is Congress read in? Is the Senate read in? And he's like, no. And the reason is they are seen by the CIA and whatnot as temporary hires. They do not need to worry about it because the CIA people are all fucking lifers. And that's true. Like, they, everybody who works there is lifers. The president, only the presidents who push are read in on the most basic stuff, but not any more than that. And the, yeah, that's why when the Congress has been pushing recently, I won't say that's why, but you could use that as the reason that, like, when Congress pushes, CIA is like, no, and they can't do anything
and
about
he
it.
He gives a list of the people that he thinks it was. And it starts with, in the 50s, Eisenhower, JFK, LBJ, Nixon, George H.W. Bush Sr., and then nobody until Trump.
Wasn't Carter?
Carter, I think, as well, but I don't. The Carter stuff, I don't understand.
Nobody told Trump. They were like, this guy who talks all the time and can't shut up, we're going to give him info.
And he didn't say anything to the public. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, this makes no
that
sense.
That sounds like immediate bullshit, but okay.
That to me, that's one of the things that I was like, oh, really?
His son asked him about it on a podcast, and Trump was like, it's that Roswell's very, very interesting. And then, like,
yeah, but that's what he says about everything. Like, right. It's fucking mad. I don't know.
So, hold on. So, they gave it to Bush, Daddy Bush.
Oh, Daddy Bush ran the CIA. Daddy Bush knows all the secrets. Oh, yeah, no,
of course. That guy was into all sorts of crazy shit. But so that Herbert Walker Bush had it. And then they were like, Clinton, nah.
Nah.
And they were like, Baby Bush, nah.
Nah.
And they were like, Obama, nah. Nah.
Trump,
but
though.
Then they were like, Trump?
Well. He's,
all right, okay.
Well, we know from the WikiLeaks email, and I also agree with this, that I think Hillary Clinton wanted to be the disclosure president. I think her team was working with WikiLeaks. From those emails, we found out about Tom DeLonge and was talking to John Podesta and was talking to generals.
Did anything ever
generals.
Happen with good old Tom DeLonge? Because I feel like that was a nothing burger.
I would say no, but he got all of these people to start talking.
I mean, I guess.
The problem with Tom DeLonge is, like, he's like the most useful idiot in the world in that, like, anything anyone tells him, he's like, that must be how it is. And he's just like, he just is like, yes, is it to all weird alien things without, like, thinking about it. So he's kind of just not reliable, but he did create, like, a media company that ended up at least pushing things like Jeremy Corbyl forward a little bit more and George Knapps and shit like that. It's a weird relationship.
So as Lou gets into this, though, the team warns him and goes, hey, man, we just want to let you know that we're very happy to have you part of the group. Weird stuff's going to start happening to you now. We call it the hitchhiker effect.
Yes, which I've heard plenty of times.
That when people start looking at this in a big way, it kind of follows them. It follows them
home. It almost
looks
back like, oh, hey, we notice you.
Jesse at Lou Elizondo's house. His wife, children, neighbors, the neighbors' kids saw green orbs in and out of walls, poltergeist-type stuff.
Yeah.
The yes. kids saw it.
All
freaked
right, let's
the
go.
Fuck out of them. the go. Wife was like, hey, is this, what is going on? And he's like, it might have something to do with my work that I can't tell you about. He doesn't tell his wife anything.
So, and you might go, and this is the part where I'm like, never mind the green ball part. That to me is another one. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'll think about it, but like,
don't question the green balls, dude. But like, don't do it.
The part that gets me is like, why don't these people come forward? If all these things are happening, why don't they come forward? And he makes it pretty, almost like in hindsight, why wouldn't that stop anybody from coming forward? You lose your pension, you get fired, you get removed. Everything you've worked over your whole life, because you're a lifer in these things, gets taken away from you. What are you gonna, now you have no money, you have no retirement fund, you have no income. What the fuck are you going to do? And that's like, oh yeah, no, that would, if like my, if I spend 30 years in this and I'm like, I have so much evidence, I need to come forward. And they're like, you're going to lose your entire retirement. We're going to literally just fire you and let you go and like cut you free completely. what are you going to, if you have a family, what do you do?
Right. But by the same logic, everyone who has come forward, then you have to ask, what was their motivation?
They were already out. Well, no, Grush was in when he filed his complaint.
But like a pension is a pension. Like, take that from you.
Right. Well, Lou is not really.
So everyone who has said anything, for example,
here's an aside, but it's also talked about by Lou. In the late 90s, Admiral Wilson wanted to find out about the program. And spoke with a scientist named Eric Davis.
Wilson Davis memo, which we've talked about on the show.
Thank you. And when that individual knocked on the door of the legacy program and said, hey, I want to be read into this. I'm third in line in the government. I should know about this shit. The person whom he spoke to said, you will never get in this room. If you keep pushing this, we will demote you a star, which means the money that he earned, right? All of this thing, your retirement and stuff like that, goes down a notch and will bury you. Well, you'll never have a career again in the military. And he told Eric Davis about this. Eric Davis has a photographic memory, wrote a very detailed memo about all this, in which Admiral Wilson says, hey, if you ever tell anybody about this, I'm going to fucking deny it to everyone's face. And I will never admit that I had this conversation with you.
Which, but the memo was debated if it was even real for a long time until what was 2 years ago?
When Edgar Mitchell died, the astronaut.
That's what it was. Yes.
He had files in a safe. There were some people that knew he had this. From that, that's how this got out.
Yep. After he died, it was found in his safe. That's right. Yep.
So it's Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, was the one who was holding on to this.
It is so wonderfully convoluted, all of it. Like, it is, like, the best part about all of this is it's unimpeachable, and that the minute you attempt to do anything with it, there's like 18 outs, which I think is one of the highlights of, like, even if it's bullshit, like a really good woven tale, because you can be like, well, it was found in the safe. And you could ask, okay, well, how did they find it in the safe? Well, they knew it was there. Okay, well, did they show anyone the safe that they cracked open? No, because it was a secret safe. Oh, okay. So the secret safe
has
the information.
I don't think it was. I don't know. But like, I know what you mean. And that's part of this as well. Like, going into this and going deep into the UFO world, you have to like understand that they might be a complete fucking fabrication, or it might be a sprinkle bit of truth mixed into a fuck ton of lies. So you don't believe it because, and I say this with, this is, you can go back and find this in the 50s, the Robertson panel was created. And what the Robertson panel was created for was, how do we control the narrative of the public? How do we make things under our control? And that is when they created the list, a four-pointed list of deny, 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 make it ridicule it, make everybody a fool who uses it, and like ignore it completely afterward. And that was created supposedly, the Robertson panel exists, but that was created supposedly because of Roswell and the really slapdash response. Because if you remember, the Roswell response was for 2 days, it was newspapers of flying saucer crash, this, that, and the other, till the military came in and went to the news station and goes, redact that. That's not what happened. It was like a balloon. It's all convoluted, but that part, the Robertson panel existing is true. Like, and the reason it exists is real, but you know, like, yeah, there's also a million reasons they could exist, but the fact that the CIA just may want to control the way that people perceive things in general, they might just find powerful and useful, which obviously they used. Sorry, go ahead, Santel.
So he's investigating it. He investigates the Nimitz case, the GoFast, the gimbal, the tick, all of these things he is looking at. And then, you know, so people will go, well, you know, that's probably one of our secret ones. So he goes, talks to the guy at the CIA who's running their program. That guy goes, that ain't ours. So then he goes, talks to the other guy at this program who goes, that ain't ours. Funny enough, the Navy and Army are very willing to speak to him, but the Air Force won't talk to him for some reason. Nobody knows why. So he starts making all of this, and he wants to get the program out of the Pentagon and under DOD. Is that what it was?
I think it was the DOD, yes. Or it was going to be, it got moved into the DOD afterward. But yeah, he was trying to basically get the secret program out under the Pentagon's lockjaw and under a branch of the government he could at least work with.
And his one saving hope was if he could get his plea in front of General Mad Dog. Is his name Mathis as well?
Matthias, maybe. I don't know if it's Mathis.
No, what is his name? Mad Dog. He was in Trump's administration. He was his first Secretary of State.
Let me Google it.
Oh my God.
Mad Dog Mattis.
Yes, James Mattis. Mathis, I see.
But he couldn't just go to him. So then we go through all of this like government like
bullshit, like
trying to get his name on a list, and he's talking to all these people around him. But in doing so, he starts
also going to say very similar to the guy who was part of ran Project Blue Book. He had a lot of the same issues trying to get Air Force to talk to him. Dr. Friedman. Him. He had a lot of the same issues in the 60s with Project Blue Book because for very, very similar reasons. Continue. Sorry.
So he finds out as he's doing this research and he's trying to get it moved.
Heine.
He starts looking into these companies and he finds out that private aerospace companies, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, have all been part of it and are holding parts of it. And that the company Monsanto, when was purchased in 2008 by the Bayer Company, one of their offshoot facilities was holding the biologics from 1947. Monsanto!
Okay, so hang on. The crop people! Who were literally bought. It's insane, too, because, like, it purposely sounds convoluted, but the reason the private companies have this stuff is because it frees them from government oversight. So the government contracts private companies and is like, anytime we get this shit, you get it. Congress has no oversight over Lockheed, over Raytheon. They don't have to report to them yearly like they would if they were in the government.
And that right there is one of the big problems. One of the reasons why disclosure hasn't happened and what knocked the last bill off was these companies want assurances that they're going to be able to make money off of these UFOs because Boeing sucks right now. They trapped those two people in fucking space. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
They clearly haven't done a good job reverse engineering Glib Glop's fucking UFO.
Do you think their stock would go up if tomorrow this starts coming out and they go, hey, just so you know, we haven't been putting money into that, but we have been investigating a UFO, which we've had access to since the late 40s. And
I promise you, if it based on society, if they had it, they would say, because the stock is the most important thing in the world to them. And I don't buy the idea that
unless they get this, that does bring down the wrath of the government on them, the CIA and shit on them.
Well, one of the things that disputed UFOE Bob Lazar said is that basically they take this shit off the shelf every decade and see if anybody can do anything with it. And if nobody can, they put it back on the shelf for another decade. I just don't think this stuff's been worked on like that.
I think about what was the project for creating the nuclear bomb? What was the name of that project?
Oppenheimer, the movie.
Yeah,
the project movie. Oppenheimer, the movie.
Yeah, yeah. To split the atom, right? Like this, it was secret, quote unquote, but it was like the most well-known secret in our fucking country. They literally built a small town of the most genius people in the world. And like that was to figure out how to split the atom. If we truly have technology we don't understand wherever it comes from, you would think you would need as many bright minds working on this, but if you keep it compartmentalized and only allow like a couple dozen every few years to work on it, and they're like, well, I don't know what fucking is, you're never going to really make any headway on this thing.
So why do it then? Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Well,
Some of the private companies don't want this fucking shit. The government's like, you're having it. You have to have this.
One of the companies contacted when Lou was there and said, we want to divest ourselves. We don't want this shit anymore. And the government was like, we're not fucking touching that. You're going to hold it like a good little bitch till we tell you otherwise.
That was part of the conversation of that he was having with Senator Reid. That was all part of that when they were trying to get this, the initial push back in 2017. And yeah, that was the it's part of that. Like some of the private companies literally don't want it. They don't want the shit.
And to that point as well, the only reason why any of these programs even happened was because Harry Reid protected them, had them funding, and prevented them from getting canceled.
As little funding
as it was. Las Vegas, Nevada International Airport, Harry Reid?
Hell yeah, bro.
Hell yeah, bro.
He is going to go in the history books as a as an ally to disclosure.
Yeah.
So he names these companies, which, Mathis, I got the impression that he is remote viewing these places, right? Like, that's the point of him telling us. He's remote viewed Monsanto and, like, looked at the gray aliens in the jelly tubes.
Yeah, I mean, for some of it, I think, I mean, it's, I don't know, man. That's the part I just am like, really? I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if he remote viewed Lockheed or anything like that. I think he just got read in on that shit.
Maybe.
I think he just literally got read in on it.
There's a lot of this book that is just, you have to take it on faith, to be honest. Everything you're saying is like, happened, but like he said it happened, so like we got to believe
it. Well, the other people in the room, I mean, that's the deal. I mean, look, that's his dad. That's the guy who was in prison. He was tortured. That's a real picture, Jesse.
I understand that's a real picture of the man. I'm saying that everything in the book so far is like, here's the thing that happened, here's the thing that happened. And Monsanto's has aliens, and you'll never know that they have them, and there's nothing you can do to find out about the fact that they have them. So, except that they have them, it's wild that I okay.
Well, let's talk about two more things, and then let's get to why the book is called Imminent. As he starts trying to move the program, he has to rustle feathers and like kind of tell people what he's been working on.
Now, we do know this part did happen because it was like kind of public when it was going on. It was part of the news cycle as quickly as it would come and go. But this part was happening where this program with Harry Reid and everything was trying to be brought back and like moved so they could actually do something with it.
While he's making these bumps and talking with people to make this happen, he gets on the radar of CIA and also the operative who is working with To the Stars Academy, Jim Sinivan, who is legacy CIA. He's now retired from the CIA, but still has clearances and still works with them. Side note, he has now come forward and said that beings paralyzed him and his wife, went into their bedroom. He has not spoken about what happened, but he has had a encounter of the fifth kind, if you will, and it has stated that this is very, very real. And has not elaborated more, but I think that is why he is a part of all of this. So he put Jesse's mouth is just a gape, everybody. Jesse doesn't know what to do with this information.
It's a lot. A series of bits of information that are completely unprovable, but also not disprovable. There's no way that I can say anything.
Yeah.
Well, he says, hey, we have someone that we think you should meet with.
Here's what I would say as in the book itself as evidence of these places being real. He lists them within the book, but they're redacted by the DOPSR, like blackout redacted within the book itself. So like at the very least, these places that he's naming very specifically, he knows the locations of. And has to be redacted from the book because they're so specific, which he might be doing specifically to get redacted. So as evidence that you see it, but the DOPSR also publicly did say they went through this book and that's all like it did have to go through this and redact shit. So like that's part at least of the, like the locations that he's speaking about are real in that degree.
So as this is going on, he talks with him and says, we have someone that you should talk to. He was like, okay, I might be open to it. They're feeling each other out. They're talking in like coded speak. They don't want to like tell exactly what they're working on. And he goes, we want you to meet with somebody. That somebody makes a scheduled a meeting. And that person is Christopher Mellon. And Christopher Mellon says, I want to be read in on this program. Read in basically means you are part of the team. We're telling you all of our secrets. You are in the know.
And now you're also locked into the same secrets that we hold.
And Lou goes, okay, if you want to be this, here is a list of tickets. And tickets are clearances. And he said he gave him a full page of clearances that he needed to get to even be in the room.
And he's like, unless he was like, the list of clearances he said was basically very specific. Like, unless you were somebody with a high rank, you weren't going to get these clearances.
1 week later, shows up, says, hey, I got the clearances. Lou Elizondo goes, bullshit. Looks at it. All of the clearances are there. He then calls these individuals at these government offices and they say, he absolutely. Lou says it's the best decision he ever made. Christopher Mellon is also part of to the Stars Academy. He was worked in Clinton's government as part of high levels of intelligence. He was the ones that specifically knew what servers the GoFast, Gimbal, and Tic Tac videos were on. They were non-secret servers, but knew where to find all of this stuff. Yes, Mike?
Well, I was going to say he was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense from 1998 to 2002. And he was part of security, counterintelligence, information operation strategies, and integration. And then he entered the private sector afterward, working with Minority Staff Director of the Senate Intelligence Committee, John D. Rockefeller, from 2002 to 2004. Like, this man is all fucking military. And his family is like his dad is a judge. And
oh, no. The Mellons are Carnegie Mellon. He comes from...
I had no idea.
Oh, he comes from money. Yeah, yeah. And then the stuff that Jesse will poo-poo, like, why do all these fucking rich families, why is their fingerprints all over the occult?
I would never poo-poo this. This seems
Because we live in a capitalist society and money is power.
I would never poo-poo very simple. Sounds exactly right.
So Lou gets all of this body of evidence. He finds out that the government is paying that servicemen in interacting with these UFO and UAP crafts have gotten hurt, been irradiated, and that our government is paying disability for a number of different soldiers. And he also indicates that there are people that have died because of these craft.
Yeah, from
which is something that we've talked about before.
Yes, the radiation stuff that was all documented stuff. I think it was Alex's episode that specifically talked about the guy with the hooks that flew out and he had like all this burns and shit. Yeah, like that kind of thing.
The program doesn't get moved. He starts getting clamped down. They're not going to release any of this stuff. And he goes, to his wife, who he doesn't tell anything. And he goes, okay, I'm going to tell you some stuff. And he decides he's going to leave his career to go public with this stuff. And he talks about leaving. And then we literally pick up at Leslie Keene's book, UFO. Of the New York Times article, the 2017, the three videos, and all of the information that has come from that to this
point. Him leaving, doing all that, gave us all those videos. And that's where like the evidence of like he actually doing something, you know, is there. It's just a lot of the things he also claims is kind of fucking wild in and of itself. But the book Imminent, he titles it. And go ahead, Santel.
No, this is the great segue. Imminent. He leaves open-ended for us to interpret what it is. But one of the things that he talks about
is... He gives his opinion.
Yes. And one of the things that he talks about is he is fairly confident that there have been crash retrievals in other countries. And one of the things that he is fearful of as an American person who worked in terrorism and stuff like that is that... Other countries will not have the same morals about these things. And his fear is that China or Russia might make a breakthrough on some of these technologies because they don't care how many people they irradiate and kill. So they are going to be putting thousands more man hours than us. And whoever makes the breakthrough with this technology, that is the ace in the hole. That is the thing that then gives you supremacy over the other countries. Uh-huh. There has been some allusions. I don't think so much in this book, but wondering if our government has made deals or some sort of agreements with these non-human intelligences. I feel like that is they keep alluding. They want to know what has been said between these groups. And that our sensory systems are now to the point that our service people are in danger. They're running into these things. This is what David Fravor, this is specifically what Ryan Graves had said, that when they started
the TikTok video came from, and
when they started updating their flare systems, their targeting systems, they said they were running into stuff like this every single day. And people are reporting this within our government, and it is getting squashed. And that is part of the reason why he is trying to get these different entities to talk to each other.
Yeah. He also talks about the phenomenon itself, and that he believes it's like one of three things in his opinion. One, they're benevolent in that they're like maybe here to help us or like guide us or whatever. He doesn't particularly believe that. He thinks the other one is more his thought line and military focused, that this is like, if we were a country looking to invade another country secretly, what would you do? You would send probes. You would check out the like how they live. You would want to know their medical records and how they what they eat and how they need what they need to survive. And if these things are coming in and probing all of those things, his thought is like invasion. Maybe they want the planet and we're just like life in the way or whatever it is. And he's like, he doesn't know if that's the truth, but his mind being the military goes that way. The third one is more where I lay, where it's like, if this thing is real, it seems very indifferent. It just seems like it doesn't give a fuck, or like it's just kind of watching out of curiosity.
Or its morality could be like humans. Some of it's good. Some of it's bad.
Yeah.
They take resources that they want to. But these things do interact with people, because one of the stories he tells in the book is that a doctor from the Department of Veteran Affairs pulled out an implant out of a guy. And as he was operating on it, the thing tried to get away from me, is what the doctor said.
Sorry, what?
As he was doing the surgery, the thing started moving through
like
the body.
The Matrix?
Yes,
like
exactly
the Matrix, Jesse. This object, when he pulled it out, was metal, but had a membrane around it so that the body would not attack it, and it could move imperviously through the individual, aka the Matrix.
Yep.
I mean, again, we can't prove it.
Yeah, I know. We can't prove it. I think it's a picture of the implant, actually. Yeah,
Jesse, right. How can you disprove this picture right here? That is the implant with the fatty thing around it that is protecting it and is moving through the person's body.
In a little petri dish.
Yeah.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Yeah. That's a real picture, Jesse.
It is a real picture of what? I'm not sure. But it's a real picture of something.
Here's a picture of Lou Elizondo with Eric Davis and with Hal Putoff. He knows them, Jesse. This is all happening.
Again... The biggest problem with all of this is
this is the day Lou Elizondo met Tom DeLonge. He got it in a picture. It's a real thing.
I could equally take photos with people and be like, this guy told me about aliens, and he works with the government, and he's in a top secret organization, and he can't talk about it. But he told me about it under extreme situations.
Friend DA.
And now I'm telling all of you because I believe so much so in saving the world that I must get this out there. Like, again,
that's what Gretch said.
Like, you can't, the funny thing about it is you just can't, like, the burden of proof to say that it's a lie is on someone like me.
I disagree.
Michi Okaku told us all. The difference now between any other time is that the burden of proof is now on the government. And you now have military people and academic people in Gary Nolan, who has been working on these things and being like, yeah, I'm analyzing this stuff. It ain't from here.
Right. But I'm saying the burden of proof of to disprove, and like, I would assume some of them are not being truthful. And the burden of proof is on someone like me to figure that out, but it's impossible because, like, again, I can't disprove a story that is then said it's classified, or the government's lying to you, or if the government wants to tell you the truth, like, it's you know, layers of conspiracy that you just can't derail.
But that's where I say I disagree with you. I don't think it's a burden on you to disprove that. I think
I don't intend to disprove it. I'm gonna, like, sit here and enjoy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But like, I think it's if they want to be, if any of these people who are saying these things want to be taken seriously, it is on them to provide the proof of it. And with Lou Elizondo, while he certainly hasn't provided evidence of everything he's claimed, there is a body of evidence over the past almost 10 years now of him having done these things, having released these things, having paperwork suddenly finally get leaked a couple of years ago that confirms he was with ATIP, no matter what the Pentagon said, because now the FOIA document got released. Like, that's
the Pentagon said when the program stopped going, they deleted all of their emails. We don't need them anymore. They're not working here. So they got rid of it all. But then, funny enough, every couple of years, something of the stuff comes out.
Yeah, it's weird how it's not actually deleted. Like, yeah, so you take what has been true that he says and measure it against a lot of the stuff that he said. And yeah, that still leaves me with, I don't know about the remote viewing thing, right? Like, because the way he talks about the UFOs is more nuts and bolts than kind of wooey, because they have theories about how these things are moving. And he tries and
bubbles.
Basically, what he explains is, like, in the best way that he can, is like, they're essentially not, they're not breaking theory of relativity or physics. What they're doing is essentially, oh man, I got to talk about something after this, by the way.
All right. For those who are curious, who are not seeing the visual version of this, Santel is showing me images of bubbles that I assume are UFOs.
So yeah. So basically what it does, they theorize the way this thing works is it actually is like, bending space time in a way. So essentially,
space time bubble around a ship.
Yes. So when you get too close to it, you have missing time and stuff like that, because it hurts you and your body.
It's like more of a just like, it's you standing next to a furnace and getting burned. Like, it's just what happens, the reactions of whatever happening. So basically, what they're saying it's doing is like, it's moving so fast to us, but in reality, to them, on their inside their ship, everything outside is just moving very slowly as they're moving a normal speed to them, because it's just the theory of relativity. The faster you go, the slower time goes. Like, that's just how it works in science. And so they're able to create it by the theory of fuel that they're using is hydrogen, potentially. And it's one of the reasons they might be on Earth is because
sucking up water.
There's so much fucking water. They can just pull the hydrogen atoms off of the water to use it to,
because
if you split the hydrogen atom,
because that's why they have underwater bases.
Thank you, Jesse. And we haven't even got into USOs yet. Okay. He talks about bubbles and that, you know, a UFO craft, the reason why it appears to us to be a UFO is because it's inside the bubble. But then if you have a triangle craft, if it's a smaller triangle craft, you'll have a bubble on each of the sides, the three lights. But if it's a large one, then you'll have those and then one in the center. And if it's a boomerang shape, then you'll need to have bubbles all along the end, all along the side of it, i.e. The Phoenix light situation, where you can clearly see the wing and the lights on the side.
Well, then those are all like the lights. Yeah, they're creating the bubble, basically. They're part of the energy creating. And so when you get close, that's why you get radiation burns. That's why people get really fucking sick after, because it's just the warped space time. And like you, it's like you being phased into two timelines at once, one moving really fast, one moving really slow.
In part of his investigation, he had a dinner with a bunch of people from Brazil and met a Brazilian general who brought out a file that had the Brazil's photos of an incident that happened, not Virginia, it's the other one. Not Ubatuba. What's the in the? It was in the.
I don't remember, man.
In Brazil, it's the other big case. They talked to witnesses. He saw photos of these things, and it was jaw dropping to have another military person like say these things and be like, "Oh yeah, they're also looking into this."
And like throughout the book too, like even just names he's talking about, like names he's talking to, like right here, I remember. The DOPSR just censored the name of the person. So like, he at least knew the security clearance needed to know name of these people that he's supposedly talking to. And it's like that secondary evidence paired with the stuff, like he leaked the videos, he, you know, the leaked memo, all this other shit is like, all right, so how much of what you're saying is true? Because are you just crazy with the fucking remote viewing stuff? Or is there something to it? We know that the government researched remote viewing. Those papers were eventually released via FOIA. Like that was something that they did, but like, I don't know. It's weird, but go ahead, Santel. I'm sorry. I keep cutting
in. No. I was just going to say, his ultimate thoughts, I feel like, is that this has something to do with consciousness and our consciousness and the consciousness, the way that you control these crafts, that the skin of the craft is also part of like...
It's a biologic thing.
Yeah, like it is the thinking thing, and that thoughts happen faster than the speed of light because I'm just thinking it. And that is somehow involved in the moving of these things.
I just want to... Now, he doesn't provide evidence
for any of that. He just simply says, yeah, this is my thought.
These are my thoughts.
I just want to say for the record that what you just said... Our dear friend Krendor and I send each other TikToks all the time, and one of them is a man who literally goes, I'm thinking at the speed of thought. I'm ahead of the curve. I see the future. And I want you to know, that man is genuinely crazy. And so what you just said, where you're like, the speed of thought is faster than the speed of light. I'm like, yep, we're in full crazy territory right now. This is what we are.
Listen, I struggle with this every day, Jesse, of how much of this shit can I believe and how much of like a normal life can I lead.
The deeper you go and the more you learn, the less you can speak to a normal human. You're just not relatable anymore. You're like, I know more than you. I am so intelligent.
He leaves the government. They try to ruin him. He loses his house. He's having to live out of a trailer. Two Stars Academy never finds its funding. His wife has to work at Target. Right
now. Like he's all fucked.
And he feels that just like nuclear technology, you and I can't Google how to make a bomb. We're not allowed to buy plutonium, but we are allowed to know that nuclear energy is a thing and that this is what we can do with it. And they feel that that should be also... That is the thing that, you know, hey, if you don't want to say that you have secret spy satellites in Russia and stuff like that, that's fine. You do need to tell people what you found and that UAP are real. We are not alone.
We really don't know what they are. They are
visiting us now. We have no idea where they're from, who they are, what their intentions are with us, other than wealth of knowledge, or not knowledge, I should say, the anecdotal conversations that people have said of interacting with these things. That's it. I mean, everything else is, there's more stuff in between. He meets a lot of people. And the thing that I see, and a lot of people that poo-poo this book, is that we're seeing the same names. Hal Putoff, Kit, he doesn't mention Kit Green, but I think he alludes to him. Eric Davis, we're seeing the same people show up in program after program that are saying that it's not that this is evil or demonic. Oh, he talked about running into the Collins elite within the government, Jesse.
The people that literally within the Congress and Senate and shit that are like, old, like old boomers who are hyper Christian, who are like, we don't want you looking into this. We already know what it is. It's demonic. It's the deceiver. Stop it. You're fucking with the devil. Stop it.
All right. And but like, how do we know that they aren't just crazy?
Well, that's the thing. Like, but that's what the UFO people are saying. To cut his funding. That's the problem.
He's like, listen, you can believe whatever the fuck you want to believe. I'm telling people this is happening. They need to know about it.
Okay. Anyway,
yeah. All right. Jesse, how do you feel after learning
Jesse,
all of that?
Jesse, now that you've now been told the story of imminent, what do you think imminent means?
I mean, I think it's the same thing we've said every time we have one of these conversations, that some guy somewhere heard a thing, saw a thing, is aware of things. And what does it all mean? Well, it could mean we're going to be invaded, or they could be friendly, or they may not care. But I don't know. But I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to find out. Buy my book. Like, that's roughly the vibe of every single one. And again, I can't be like, liar. Like, I don't have evidence to accuse anyone of lying. So I can assume that it's a good tale being told. And I don't trust the government enough to be like, oh, they're definitely not hiding things, right? But I also don't trust this dude enough to be like, he's definitely 100% telling the truth. So I don't. Agreed. I don't know,
and I
honestly.
I feel similarly. I lean more in like, I think I sort of believe a lot of what he says because of the body of evidence he's built over the past few years. But some of the more wackadoo shit still makes me go, are you just like, that makes me question it. But maybe, I mean, if it was real, I would react the same fucking way, right? Like, only way I can do it is start to remote view myself and try fucking figure that out. But yeah, there's no way to know. And that's where it's frustrating. The book, for those who are interested in it, if you're really deep in the UFO world, there's not much new there for you. It's much more of a really good primer on the deeper stuff that has happened that we know and definitely know have happened, and then stuff that he says has happened.
It very much sounds like everything else.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's basically his big fucking argument with is like the politics of it all is like what's preventing it. Everybody's just preventing each other from doing everything else because everybody else says no or yes. And they just don't all talk to each other. So it's yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Santel.
Well, I was going to say that is what he is comfortable with saying. And then the question I ask myself is, am I in the Grush camp or the Greer camp? And the Grush camp says, listen, they don't know what to do with this. No breakthroughs have happened. They can't do anything with it. And we are losing out technologically to other countries that are moving ahead with this. But the Stephen Greers of the world say, they've already figured this shit out. We have alien reproduction vehicles that some of the UFOs are theirs, but some of this shit is ours. And that's some of the illegality of this. I think that people have been killed when they show up and find these things in fields. Now, let's say it's theirs or ours. Let's say it's a UFO that we had. Some dumb guy shows up. Some dude shoots him in the head and was like, sorry, Commander, I thought he was going to go look at that thing. I think that's part of the illegality of some of this. And I think that's why people have been killed. I think it's dumb dudes on back roads that go missing because they saw something they weren't supposed to. More than this, like, conspiracy. That being said, there's been proven fact that there have been disinformation camps about UFO people that made them go crazy. Richard Doty talked about it in the documentary Mirage Men, where this guy thought he was seeing UFOs. The government was like, tell him he is seeing UFOs. He went crazy and ended up killing himself.
Yeah. And that's all part of the Robertson panels, like not to kill himself, but to like make these people like make it amplify the insanity, make the crazies crazier and have them be the dominant through line when anybody ever thinks about UFOs, which has worked. Obviously, we talked about it. They had to rebrand UFO to UAP. That being said, that's the end of the book. But we got to end with one last thing because it's driving me crazy. And I almost am mad that it happened to me because of it almost is like worse that it happened
hold
to
on,
me.
Hold on. Should we save this for the bonus episode? That's a stick. That's a teaser.
You want to save
that's
it?
A teaser.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll save it for the mini-sode.
Here's what I'm going to say. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, did Mike the Mathis see a UFO? I'm sorry, UAP. Did it happen? Find out over on Patreon.
Were there multiple witnesses? Does he have it on his cell phone? Stay tuned, everybody.
Did it finally happen to him?
I have answers to every one of those questions. It's true.
Well, yeah. and I believe that if you want to see that content, you got to head on over to the patreon.com/thechalubanati.
Yeah, Chalubanati pod. You got, bam, you got it. You're better than Alex. Thank you so much.
I know the way Alex does it. I know how to chill around here. I like coming on this show.
We're off to go do a mini-sode. Thank you all so much for listening, and thank you, Jesse, for being the voice of reason this episode.
I try so hard.
We will see you guys next week. We appreciate it. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chalubanati podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the... I don't know who they are. There's two...
What?
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
No.
Neo and Trinity.
No.
I don't understand, and I probably never will. Let me just tell you right now that there's two... Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
I'm telling you, I think he literally just looked up famous duos.
Cheech and Chong.
And it's just been going through the list ever since.
I'm trying to dig deep. One of you is Dick Powell.
Me?
Your name's Jesse Cox.
I want Chalubanati. I want my mustache. I want Chalubanati. I want my
everybody, welcome back to the Chalubanati podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by Alex and Jesse. Like a shooting star across the sky that's actually a UFO.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.